911 emergency, what are you reporting?
Thank you for listening to We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by your friends at Watson Consoles. To show our appreciation to unsung heroes of public safety, we're offering the Dispatch community a free gift. Visit watsonconsoles.com/badge to claim yours.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, because my gosh, if we're speaking Dispatch, y'all, we're speaking it right to you. And you should be listening and telling your friends, hey, you should be listening to those guys. They're talking about We Speak Dispatch. We give you a 15-minute broadcast about every week or so, and it's something you can actually listen to on your way to work or watch it when you're at work, whatever you can out there. So it's pretty easy to jump on that. So today we have a full house of our usual people. We got Leslie over there. How goes it, Leslie?
How's it going? It's about 90 here in Central Florida, and it is awesome.
90. That just sucks. And John, another one of these recent Florida evacuees over there. John, tell us about yourself.
John, yes, I'm glad to be here on the eastern side of Florida, and it is 91.
Now, here's the real difference. Joe, let us know what the temperature is at your Christmas house.
Well, there is a Christmas tree in background. My family loves Christmas, and we got a birthday party going on, so I'm a little early to the parents. However, it is 31 and snow on the ground in Iowa.
Oh, wow. No. And Jill, let's hear what's going on in your neck of the woods.
We are here in glorious Middle Tennessee. It's about 75 degrees outside, and I love it, which is why I'm currently outside, because it's beautiful.
And we don't hear the birds, because a little while ago we heard the birds in the background over there really going to town. So, and hey, today we're joined by a very special guest. We got a husband-wife duo over here, so they're going to introduce themselves. So go ahead and let us know what your names are and where you're from and all that.
Well, I'm Xavier. I'm a small business here in Southeast Texas. I've been a dispatcher for a little over 3 years. And currently it's about 80 degrees, but rainy off and on. Oh, so it's nice to be with. And this is my wife, Angela.
Hi, Angela. Xavier's wife. I am a microbiologist,
program
manager here
in public safety at all. Is that right? Okay.
No,
wow.
We met them at a
we were at, and he had such a good topic, which was having that essential support person at home, that person that you can kind of rely on to kind of like come home and say, holy cats, I had an awful day out there. So tell us about how that works for you, Xavier. What goes on with that? And then we'll ask you a bunch of questions.
Usually if I have even if it's not a bad call situation kind of a day, it'd just be stressful, normal dispatch stuff, you know how it goes. Yeah. I usually come home and able to talk about it with my wife because she's my springboard when it comes to a lot of stuff. You know, if something's bothering me, or if there's something that's going to get off my chest so it doesn't sit there fester in my brain, she'll sit there, help me decompress and really just, you know, after talking it out with her, she'll let me see where things, how things were, so it's not so bad. Or, because, you know, obviously we just hear it, we don't see it.
Yeah.
And when I paint her the picture with what happened, she lets me know, hey, you know, it wasn't that bad. It actually helped out. And she'll just reinforce positive vibes within me so that way I could show up the next day and continue to do another good job.
Sweet. Leslie, what you got?
Well, I'm just curious, Xavier, you know, and you mentioned that you've been in dispatch now for about 3 years, that obviously you had that level of trust and relationship where you could be open and honest, because I've heard other couples, especially if one's in public safety and one isn't, that they almost feel like they need to protect their significant other from all of the negativity. But it sounds like maybe that was something that you did before you even got into public safety. Is that how you've always been?
Yes, I've always tried to be honest, especially with her while we're dating. We actually met when I was working in the jail here in Corpus.
Was she in custody? So, my God, she was in jail and you got her.
Not that I tell her, but we met in the jail and I bailed her out. But no, that's
it was the cell block tango.
Yeah.
it was always one we were dating because I wanted her to be aware that, you know, hey, it's a possibility of people, especially with the jail, that we were to meet them, and they actually were on a date one time at a local Pizza Hut. And down here, what the jail would call them 12s, people who are in custody. And so we just came up with a gesture, like I make a one with one, you know, one and two, so to say 12, without me saying inmate or something like that. So we're on a date, and I just see this guy I recognize from the jail, and I just do my bell signal. And he literally comes in, sits down with us and continues and proceeds to tell her how, hey, he's a good officer, he's a real nice guy and everything. And here comes our food. It's like,
dude,
hey, I appreciate it, brother.
Date night, dude. I'm sorry.
But so any one of those that it is just back then, I was open and honest about what happened in there. So that way, if anything, God forbid, would have happened, she wasn't caught off guard. She was very receptive of it. Her dad is retired law enforcement. So she was aware of possibilities, but she's just been very supportive of me and always accepting of what my job choice entailed. So it makes a big difference. And I'm sorry, VC, we have four cats. So they may come join the conversation, or they may be talking to us throughout the.
Okay, we got.
That's okay. We're cat people. Bring them in. Okay. They also reduce your stress.
They do. That's the good thing out there. So Angela, does it work both ways though? If he's dropping some stuff on you, do you say like, okay, look, here's the deal. I've got this today too. Do you yeah. A mutual kind of thing out there?
I was
move up to the mic a little bit more because you talk so quiet. Move up a little bit.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, kind of, but if you just talk really loud, we can hear it. Okay. You're from Texas. You got you can talk loud.
Okay. So just let me know. But I was smack dab in the middle of COVID when it happened. And he has horror stories in the middle of it. We did really well with it. So it's a give and take really well.
Okay, that's good. I mean, it is nice to have somebody to signal off of that stuff. I mean, I know I had a pretty nasty suicide my last year, and I came home and Jill immediately saw me and said, Jesus, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. So it's just one of those things where you kind of have to have that kind of person to bounce that stuff off of. And whether they understand it or not, I mean, some of us are in the world of law enforcement, like Leslie, her significant other wasn't law enforcement. Does that change things, Leslie, when it's like you're talking to somebody who's in the business with you that says, yeah, I was on the other side of that and saw this happen?
Yeah, it definitely helped. And because he and I also worked at the same agency, I know, shocking, dispatcher and officer. What?
While you're having a meeting at the jail bingo or whatever you said, John.
Yeah, the cell block tango. But I was going to say, for those who are listening and maybe they don't have that support system, I know that the agency where I worked, they have a program. It's called Family Matters. And it's meant for it. And it's a program where if somebody new is getting hired, whether civilian or sworn, they are brought into the station, given a tour. They get to see where everybody's working and all of that. But then there's a book by Kevin Gil Martin, I think.
Yeah.
Emotional Survival.
Excellent book.
It's a great book. And they're given a copy of that book. And our peer support team comes out and does a presentation. And they get a chance to, they'll invite other family members of other officers. And it's just a way to say, hey, yes, we may have hired your significant other to actually get paid by our department, but you're now part of our family. And they hand out this book and talk about it and start to prepare people like Angela, who maybe don't have the foundation, but can start to read that book. And even though it's primarily written for field responders, you can go through there and see how dispatch records, anybody who works at the police department can have those reactions to things. And it just helps that conversation to get started, because I think what Angela and Xavier have is so important, because this job can really change the way you view the world. And you need people like Angela in your life to say, hold on, that was one call, but that's not what the entire world, you know, thinks about this or how they conduct themselves and all that stuff. So,
yeah. How about you, John? You got your significant others in the, you're moving around over there, in the public safety world, sort of nursing kind of thing. Does it work the same way with you? You can come home and say, hey, this happened to me, and get that kind of sounding board kind of situation?
All the time.
I can't imagine your agency being that stressful, but but I mean, it is nice to have.
We've been together for a long time, and like Angela kind of grew up in each other's career. Kind of thing. So, you know, I would hear the guts and the glory before he would see the guts and the glory. I'd hear it kind of thing being in the hospital setting. But, you know, it's and it was private, but it was funny that the stories that we shared were no different between public and private sector.
Wow, that is funny.
Angela and Xavier, do you find the same thing?
Yeah, we do. I mean, she's worked in a hospital years ago when I was in the desk. So so we do have that commonality with that, those stories. You know, there are a lot of similarities. But some people, we tend to gravitate toward a lot of people. And I don't know, maybe everybody being dispatch or on the patrol side of it, we all generally tend to gravitate to some people that are share the same experience.
Sure.
Because they're the only ones that kind of get our mentality, sadly, and oddly enough, our senses of humor. Yeah. We do have dark senses of humor sometimes, but we're comfortable with those people because a lot of people, when they hear stories, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure with you, Doug, and other people who have done law enforcement, if someone hears, oh, you're law enforcement, you're a dispatcher, you're a patrolman, first question out their mouth is, what is the worst thing you've seen or what is the worst thing you've heard? Us on this side, we don't talk about it because we know what it's like. We don't want to relive it.
Nobody wants to answer that question. It's like, you don't want to relive that thing. It's like, good God. It's like, oh.
Some people get offended when you tell them, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to relive it. They're like, well, why not? Until you experience it, you won't understand. Yeah.
We don't play that game. Jeez. Joe, you have a very supportive family. I mean, you got like the Walton family. I mean, it's very supportive people over there. Even at Christmas time in your place right now. But how does that work with you, Joe? Can you tell your family, do they get what, because they're not in law enforcement or anything right there, right?
Right. Yeah, so obviously we're very close and we're very large, so I have a ton of support, but I live by myself, and I want to talk to those dispatchers that maybe do live by themselves, is to make sure that when you get home, you have a positive outlet and something that you can do to get your mind right, whether it be family, friends that you can call and communicate with, services that might be available through your employment, or sticking to whatever it is that you do, reading. I'm in my stepmom's quilting room. Maybe some of you quilt or whatever, or play sports or do whatever. But for me, it's definitely exercise, sports, family, friends. And I also like to always be planning my next hike in the next national park I'm going to visit. So that gets my mind straight for the next day I go to work and make sure that I'm ready for that next call that I hear that may be traumatic. So that's speaking directly to the people that might live by themselves and also work in 911.
Well, you know what? I didn't think about that with this conversation about that kind of thing, where if you live alone, you go home with a terrible call. How do you hang with that? So
that's
on that one. So Jill, what about you?
Me? Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask Joe the same thing. I was trying to figure out a polite way of saying it. Hey, Adam.
That's my support right here.
Support hey, Adam. So, you know, I think it's really important to have somebody in your life that you can talk to. Some of my best friends were not in public safety, and it was hard to have those conversations with them. Like when we go out to just like go out and hang out for the day, you can't have those conversations with them because they don't understand. Sometimes the sarcasm, sometimes the humor in the situation, because it's just a different sort of humor. So I had learned early on who I could talk to and who I couldn't talk to. Like, here's my safe people to talk to. Here's the people that, hey, we're just going to have the, hey, it was a great night at work, or it was a busy night at work conversation. And these are the people that I can go, oh my God, did you see what happened? Or did you see the story on the news? So it's having to learn who those people are was difficult, but once I figured out who they were, it made life so much easier. So it's nice to have people that you can.
That's a big topic that I try to tell people when I talk about training, that you should be having conversations with a trainee right away about some of these calls are going to be really difficult to deal with. And if you haven't talked about it before and you're suddenly involved in these calls, this could be a traumatic situation. So I'm always telling people, if you're training somebody, some of your first conversations should be about that, about some of these calls are rough to handle. They just are. And it's like,
how do you focus? I got my first trainee this week. My very first
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm happy. And she's made great progress. And I know, and I tell her, when you sign up for this job, you know you're going to take the good with the bad. And, you know you're responsible for every, you know, people's lives and everything. But if you have a problem, you get a back call, please talk to your partner, reach out to us. You have our phone numbers, because your first one, that's going to be your hardest.
Oh, yeah.
And then
wow.
You know,
what a good time to have this conversation then. We're talking about it, and you can, you're a new trainee, you can tell them right then, like, this is a sitch. There it is. And it's nice to kind of share those kind of calls and say, you know, there are some calls out there that I remember my first call. We had somebody get killed on the freeway and running across the got killed. And everybody was kind of like, what are we having for lunch today? And I'm like, good God, people. And so like, somebody's dead out there. And they're like, yeah, anyway, tacos. It's it was just difficult to kind of sit and listen to that. Like, people get used to it after a while. And then I think we don't really get used to it, but we get used to the acceptance of it. So we don't get really used to it in our brains. But, you know, but we definitely appreciate you coming on today. My goodness, that was such a good topic. I'm like, wow. That was a great topic to bring up. I'm so glad we met you at that conference. And
yes, we had a great time.
The class, I love that. And Angela, thanks for jumping on with him, like showing the support system. And Adam jumped in with Leslie right there. So we like to kind of stuff. Joe, tell us about how good we're doing in the social media world right now.
Oh, we're doing great. We're up over 22,000 plays on the podcast platform in over 35 different countries. I tell you, we are making a huge difference around the globe in emergency services and communications, and we're here to support you, and you can support us by listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.
Awesome job out there. Well, thanks very much, everybody. Go out and make it a great day, because you know we all will. So go have fun, everybody.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by your friends at Watson Consoles. We're celebrating dispatchers and showing our appreciation by providing a free special gift. Visit watsonconsoles.com/badge to claim yours. That's watsonconsoles.com/badge.